Well, good morning once again.
Good morning.
Our sermon text this morning is taken from Job chapter 4, verse 15. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair on my body stood up. Those are the words of Job's friend, Eliphaz. If you have your Bible, hold to that point. We're going to come back to look at that verse in its context, but before we do that, I just wanted to point out, this is a time of year where you can't help but think about ghosts. Just about every store you go to, you see costumes and depictions of ghostly faces and demons staring at you almost in every aisle of every store that you go to, even in the front yards of your neighborhoods. It's impossible to go anywhere during the last week of October and not see these images. Pictures of spooks and ghouls are glaring at you as you approach October 31st, a day in the calendar that has somehow found its way into the holiday category. I'm speaking, of course, of Halloween. Unfortunately, the emphasis of this commercialized holiday has shifted from the little cowboys and Indians to a much more evil and pointed attraction to all things hideous and pagan. Satan has undoubtedly made this commercialized holiday into something that has over time focused on the ugly and the demonic. With this in mind, I thought it would be a good day to address what many have asked, both Christians and non-Christians. Is there such a thing as ghosts? The only place we can go for this reliable information is to the Bible. The Bible alone reveals the truth concerning spiritual things. In my study, I've gone over many commentaries and many books on the subject, but in the end, I always come back to the Scriptures. And why wouldn't I? 2 Peter 1:19 tells us, the Bible alone is the prophetic word confirmed, the sure word of prophecy, a light that shines in a dark place. And so I must go to the Bible, God's reliable and certain word, to know the truth about ghosts. The people of the world say that these spooks are the spirits of human beings who have died. They say that their soul leaves the body at death and then roams the earth, haunting us, especially during the time of Halloween. But are the people of the world right? Are they correct in what they believe? No, they are not correct. According to the Bible, ghosts are not the souls of those who are dead. The Bible tells us that the souls of the dead go directly to heaven or hell. Hebrews 9:27 declares, man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. That is what happens to a person's soul spirit after death. Judgment. The result of this judgment is heaven for the believer and hell for the unbeliever. There is no in-between. There's no possibility of remaining on earth in spirit or form as a ghost. So I do not believe that ghosts are disembodied human spirits. But I do believe in Satan. And I do believe in demons. The Bible says quite a bit about these evil spirits. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, demons masquerade as angels of light and as servants of righteousness. Demons are evil, deceptive, and destructive. With them, it's all tricks and no treats. To be clear, relative to our study, it is unclear whether the text is meant to be understood figuratively or literally. There's nothing that can verify Eliphaz's experience as a genuine revelation. But I believe, as do other commentaries, that Eliphaz did encounter a demon. The very first chapter of Job tells us that Satan was after Job. And I believe that Satan sent a demon to Eliphaz to give him this message with the intent to discourage Job. Job was suffering greatly from various satanic attacks, and the advice of his friend Eliphaz was just one more demonic trick aimed to discourage him. We're going to look carefully at our sermon text in its context, and we will learn three great truths about Satan and about demons. First, demons really do exist. Let's read Job chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. These are the words, again, of Job's friend Eliphaz. "Now a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear received the whisper of it. In disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, fear came upon me, and trembling which made all my bones shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, the hair on my body stood up." So we know it was late at night when the spirit came to see Eliphaz. The Bible doesn't say that Eliphaz was asleep, only that it was the time of the night when deep sleep falls on men. "There in the darkness, Eliphaz said, a spirit passed before my face. The hair on my body stood up." His hair stood on end. No wonder. He was so afraid, he tells us, that his bones were shaking. "Fear came upon me and trembling." You know, I think of the movie, The Exorcist, that came out in the early 70s, starring Linda Blair. I think there's been other remakes of it, but I don't know how old I was when I first saw that movie, but I do recall being troubled, terrified. If you remember, her head spun around. And those thoughts were with me for many nights. And it gave me bad nightmares, and I couldn't sleep. It's just another reason why we need to protect ourselves. We need to protect the eyes of ourselves, the eyes of our children, because of what the world and what Satan will throw at us. We need to stay focused on God. Proverbs 4, verse 25 tells us, "Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you." Bad movies, bad programs, just like my bad dreams, I believe that these can be demonic experiences similar to the one that Eliphaz went through. To use part of an old expression, yes, Virginia, there is a devil. And yes, demons do exist. The Bible says so. Our Lord Jesus Christ encountered Satan and demons many times during his ministry on earth. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, the Apostle Paul tells of a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, in other words, to torment him. Commentary suggests that the spirit which frightened Eliphaz was an evil spirit, possibly even Satan himself. I think that's the best explanation for this passage. These demons were once angels, but they were cast out of heaven with Satan because of their rebellion against God. Jude 6, verse 6, calls these demons the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. Some of these evil spirits were cast into the darkness of hell, but others were allowed to roam the earth, awaiting future judgment. They became the demons that Jesus so often encountered, that we read of in the four Gospels. I believe one of these demonic spirits came to Eliphaz that night, frightened him terribly, and then whispered a message to him that the demon knew he would repeat to Job. I'll say it again. Demons are evil, deceptive, and destructive. Very tricky. The Apostle Paul spoke of demons when he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age." Every Christian wrestles against demonic forces. That is why it is so important every day to begin your day in prayer and ask God for protection as you walk and encounter the darkness of this world. Yes, I believe in demonic spirits, and I believe that a demon came to Eliphaz late that night. If you're not yet a Christian, I can assure you that Satan and his demons will do all they can to keep you from coming to Christ and experiencing eternal salvation and the peace of Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 12, "Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts." You know, when you hear the gospel preached, the demonic powers will do all they can to take away that word from your heart, to keep you from coming to Christ, to keep you from being renewed. That's why we must resist unbelieving thoughts that come into our minds. If you want to be saved, you must resist these thoughts. But there's also another lesson for us in this text. The second great truth about Satan and demons is demonic spirits give false teachings. I'd like to take another look at Job 4, verses 16 through 20. Verse 16 begins by telling us a little bit about the demon, and then we're given the satanic message that the demon brought to Eliphaz. Verse 16 starts, "It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. And then I heard a voice saying, 'Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his maker? If he puts no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before a moth? They are broken in pieces from morning till evening. They perish forever with no one regarding.'" Eliphaz couldn't see the demon clearly. It stood in an immovable position in front of him, almost to attract his attention and to prepare him for the solemn announcement that it was about to make. "Can a mortal be more righteous than God?" You know, on the surface, those words look great. A Christian might read those and say, "Yeah, amen." But we need to look at the motive behind those words. They are spoken in an attempt to discredit Job, whom God earlier described in Job chapter 1, verse 8, "There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man." But still, in an attempt to whittle Job down to size, Eliphaz repeats another idea that he heard. "He puts no trust in his servants if he charges his angels with error." Here he's talking about God. Don't tell me God does not trust his servants. He does, all the time. And Job is one of them. And if you're a believer, you too are a trusted servant. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus lives in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. God has invested his treasure in our weak, human, earthly vessel. He's invested his treasure in us. Is that not trust? And I wonder if there's a bit of jealousy here in this message. Maybe the demon envies the other angels who didn't originally sin. Maybe. Maybe there's some jealousy on the part of Eliphaz too. You have to remember, it's not just what people say that counts. It's also why they say it, the motive. Verse 20 ends with a reference about mankind in general. It says, "They are broken in pieces from morning till evening. They perish forever with no one regarding." In other words, humanity is nothing. Life is meaningless. There is no eternity. These are the thoughts that this kind of statement generates. But again, they're tricky. This message is wrong. The last part about no one regarding our eternal destiny? That's the biggest lie of all. How can a believer and a follower of Jesus believe that? Because of Christ, God is with us in mercy and love when we go through persecution and trouble. The Apostle Paul was beaten, thrown alive in the ocean. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was robbed. He experienced pain and hunger, cold and nakedness. And yet Paul knew that God was with him in his suffering. Paul would have said what the Spirit gave Eliphaz was flat out wrong when the demon said those words about no one regarding. Don't forget the story of Job. It was from the Old Testament. Paul knew those verses. He knew the story of Job. Probably knew them by heart. And Paul knew that the words that that Spirit gave Eliphaz were utterly and profoundly wrong. That's what's wrong with some of these so-called faith teachers on television today. They tell you that if you have enough faith, you will become prosperous and rich, and you won't experience any pain or suffering in your life. We've heard people talk about it from this pulpit. Where do they get that idea? Where do these faith teachers get that idea? They don't get it from the Bible. They get it directly or indirectly from Satan and his demons. There are many messages, we'll call them, just like this, designed to confuse us and send us down the wrong road. Many messages, many teachings for the good life are unscriptural and they're flat out wrong. People are listening to the wrong gospel. I now believe that those teachings come from the same source as Eliphaz's vision. They're what the Bible calls doctrines of demons. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Satan and his demons will try to spread false teachings. Some of the non-Christian religions of the world, I believe, have received revelations from these demonic sources. Folks, we need to be on guard at all times. The scary part about these teachings is they give you a little bit of truth, just enough to entice you, and then they distort it, they twist it, and they misapply it. Demons are evil, deceptive, and destructive. You know, Jesus warned his followers of the many counterfeits and false prophets that would come and try to lead men astray. Other religions of the world have been an effective tool for Satan in his quest to blind us in our need for a Savior. Millions are led into the spiritual bondage of the devil, and finally into hell, because they listened to what some demon told a false religious teacher, instead of making the Bible their only guide for faith and practice. Let's take a look at one more false teaching that the demon gave Eliphaz. We haven't covered it yet, but it's in the same chapter, chapter 4 of Job, verse 7. It reads, "Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright ever cut off?" In other words, Eliphaz is saying, Job, you must have done something bad. You know, it reminds me of something my mom always used to say to me. What did you do? He's telling Job, stop and think. Do the innocent die? When have the upright, the decent, the honest, been destroyed? Look in your Bible, and you get plenty of answers to that one. Righteous Abel was murdered by his wicked brother Cain. Righteous Joseph was sold as a slave by his wicked brothers. The 11th chapter of Hebrews gives us a long list of righteous and innocent people who suffered, who were persecuted, including Moses. As Hebrews 11:15 says, 11:25 says, Moses suffered affliction with the people of God. And we're told at the end of Hebrews 11 of many innocent and righteous people. Hebrews 11 verse 37 says, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Yeah, these are the wonderful, godly people. But you know what? They suffered greatly. Not because they were sinful, but because we live in a fallen world, influenced by the power of Satan and his demons. Christ himself was falsely arrested, falsely tried, beaten half to death, nailed to a cross for our sins. No one was more righteous and innocent than Christ. Amen. And he is our example, not some demon that whispered false ideas to Eliphaz in the dark of night. God is with us in our suffering, just as he was with Job. Folks, at times, good Christians must undergo great suffering. But you need to remember, God is with us all the way. And lastly, the third great truth about Satan and his demons. Demonic spirits must not be our authority or our guides. We must realize something here. This was an evil spirit diabolically implanting an accusation against Job in the mind of Eliphaz. And it would be used later, as I said, to undermine Job's faith. The spirit stressed God's wrathful righteousness and man's sinful worthlessness. I told you, they're tricky. Job was just a sinner suffering God's judgment. But in the end, as always, God was right. Job did not believe the demonic advice of Eliphaz. Instead, he stood tall in the midst of his suffering and his persecution. And all his trouble, all his grief and pain and worry and stress and anxiety, despite all of that, Job gave one of the great answers in the Bible. It's found in Job 13, verse 15, when he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Those words of Job have often been of great comfort to many in the times of trouble. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will not give up." That should be our attitude as well. No matter what the trials are, no matter what the discomforts are that come our way, we should say what Job said about God, that he will trust him regardless of what dart Satan tries to throw at us. Faith overcomes. Hope overcomes. Trust overcomes. Because of Jesus Christ, our loving and our caring Heavenly Father, we can overcome adversity, whatever it is. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to suffer and die to atone for our sins. He was beaten half to death and nailed to a cruel cross. He died in agony and blood to save your soul. And he rose physically from the dead on the third day. He ascended back to heaven, where he's now seated at the right hand of God, praying for your salvation. If you come to Christ and you rest on him, he will save you. He will cleanse your sins by his precious everlasting blood. Come to Christ. Do not rely on the thoughts of man or demons. Come to Christ. Rely on Christ alone. Revelation 1:5 tells us you'll be saved solely by faith in him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Come to Christ and be saved. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son Jesus. We thank you for your teachings. We thank you for each other, Lord God. We ask for protection from the evil world. Lord, they are tricky. Maybe it's easy for us to realize what they are by your word that says that the enemy, Satan, is like a lion out there just looking for his prey to devour. Lord, we need to be on guard at all times. We need to submit to you, Father God. We need to resist the devil so that he will flee from us. There are so many things that the world will throw at us. Satan and his demons will try to attack us. They will try to find what is the most susceptible part of our heart and go after it. Lord, we ask for protection. We ask for strength. We ask for faith. And we thank you for who you are and your son Jesus, whose name we pray. Amen.